All right, we offer this time to reflect and make comments, share, ask questions. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking of what we're talking about in that corporate cry, because I know that's been a prayer of what the Lord's going to do, is synchronizing and just crying out, you know, for deliverance, and thinking of sufferings and how, what God is doing, and really He's been checking my attitudes towards suffering, and seeing that it just reveals, you know, when suffering comes in, just reveals the flesh and responses to that, you know, so much. And so on the way here, it really struck me that I've been listening to the radio, and Pastor Aaron Lutzer talked about, did you hear that?
No, but we usually listen on the way here.
It's a great series, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just made brief mention to Johnny and how people would come up to her so much and just said, can I pray for your healing? And she said, sure, but not in the way that you're probably thinking of. This is what I want you to pray for my soul. Pray for healing of my soul, because 40 years in this chair, I have self-pity, I have impatience, I have attitudes that are not of Christ. Said, and I need prayer that God would heal that. And so, I mean, that really spoke wonders. I mean, it really does speak. It's just, what is my response to this? To these afflictions, what's my response? Is the first thing out of my mouth is like, ah, you know, which it usually is, and then, because then that just shows just that more desperate need of Christ. You know, what's that corporate cry? Well, get me out of here because I can't stand the affliction. Or is it something more that God, you are, what you're doing, something deep, you know, the desperation of having, knowing you, you think about that in the corporate cry of Israel, even the corporate cry at the end, of that God has got to have what He wants. And there is an excruciating, I think He's working that in us, especially with working with SRA, and all the affliction and, you know, the ritual activities and all of that that comes in, you know, and the first thing out of my, you know, my lips can be not Christ-like.
We can murmur occasionally.
Well, no, because it's not, like Johnny said, pray for my soul.
But I've murmured occasionally.
Yeah, well, more than occasion. And I think that He wants that to come into a corporate cry of that murmuring. And so, you know, the other thing I had heard too about, someone, a little clip on the radio about him praying for patience. Well, you know, 2 weeks later comes back. Would you pray for me? I only got tribulation. He says, well, I look in my Bible and it says that patience,
tribulation is supposed to work patience.
Work patience, yes. So therefore, that is how we work the character of Christ, yeah. Is when we get tribulations. Yeah. And so if we're crying out, Lord, I need more of your character, I want more of who you are, then what does He do? He really increases the tribulations. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have learned so much, is when there's tremendous intensity where crying out, you know, the first 5 years of living here in Syracuse, God so used that to teach me to cry out to Him, to work in me, teach me to pray, to teach me that, man, I'm nowhere because of that measure of Christ in me, and that these principalities can jump all over me. Why? Well, because the measure of Christ in me isn't standing. And that's why. And so He used that in such a tremendous way. So it's just those, anyway, that's just a few thoughts of what does it mean to really God synchronizing a corporate cry? Because if we're crying out selfishly, you know, at first when I moved here, I was crying out selfishly, get me out of here. because I'm all worried about my own affliction. Well, what about God's affliction? What about him? What about his nature? What about what is this doing in him? And so little by little, I think that's what Johnny may be referring to, is healing of the soul. So there is that alignment that comes in with him, and really that heart cry of you must have your bride, because it's so excruciatingly painful if you don't have it, and to do something. And like Moses did too, he cried out that if you wipe out your entire remnant, then what is your, what do you, how is your nature and character, how is that gonna represent or reflect your name?
He said, take me out. He said,
yeah.
But you can terminate my life right now if you're not going to take me along with these people.
Yeah, and I don't think that was a selfish thing. I think it was in a
you
sense.
You think about the integrity of God.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so how much sometimes are my prayers really more out of a selfish thing because of my, I don't like all this pain and misery. And so slowly and surely he's working there. I was reading 1 Corinthians 13 about that context of love. And man, there's like, Lord, you are just so gracious. You know, because the only way that we can love like that is by his nature and character. And so he's definitely answering that through affliction.
Putting on Jesus. Yeah.
Putting on the Lord. Yes.
Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking this raises the issue. The distinction between what we just read about, there's the cry of desperation, but I think in contrast, there's the whining and complaining and murmuring that we see when they're in the wilderness and wishing for the what they had back in Egypt. So I think what Sally was sharing really shows there's that distinction. There is the time to cry out in desperation, and we should, but then there's when things are rubbing us the wrong way, the murmuring, complaining, and whining, that's something, no, that's not righteous. That's not what the Lord's looking for. So I think there's a distinction. It's real clear there.
Paul brings that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that there were those that murmured and they died. He uses 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 14, that the children of Israel die in the wilderness, was an example of where the Corinthians were spiritually, and they were in danger of losing and missing the inheritance. And so, yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah. I was going to have you find that last, I think it's almost the last sentence you read of C.A. Coates, but I'll read you what I wrote down, and I'm not, this may be complete and it may not, but, God deals with us that we might be in keeping with his purpose. Is that, do you recall that?
No,
I think it's like the last, oh, okay, I think it's the last phrase you read. But, so along with, you know, what Sally was saying about the Lord's purpose is to conform us to the image of Christ, and that's what Johnny, in essence, is asking for. And that must be an old message because she's been in the wheelchair 50 years now. And if she was 40, then that was 10 years ago. But that has always been her attitude. But I think, why do we go through some of what we go through, which is really, you know, we don't hear about a lot of other Christians going through some of the things we go through. Not that we're totally unique, but, dealing with these strongholds in the second heavens, I think that the Lord is, as Coates said, dealing with us that we might be in keeping with his purpose. That it is a specific calling. And so I think we can say, that's why he's dealt with me this way. That's why he's dealt with this assembly this way. That's why. Because he has a specific purpose that he called us to, that we desire by grace to fulfill. And so that's why we must say, yes, Lord. It's I agree with you. This is how I need to be chastened. This is how, this is the refiner's fire that I need to be in right now. And I think gradually as we grow and maybe even love the Lord more, that it does have to do with our relationship with Him. That it's not just learning, it's not just more Bible doctrine, more knowledge, but it's actually the relationship with the living person, our beloved, our bridegroom. And for that reason, there's more trust even when we're in the fire. And so there's more a sinking down and surrendering and saying, okay, Lord, this isn't forever. I'll get through this. And on the other side, you'll have more what you need. You'll have more what you're after. And, but in between those times is that cry, you know. But as He refines each individual, then the corporate cry, as He deals with us individually and gets that self out of the way and those self issues, then the corporate cry can go up for His sake, for His interest, don't you think? That instead of just crying out on our own behalf, which is a part of the process, then we gradually cry out for His interest.
Yeah, well, I think the way to answer that is Hannah was crying out to God for a child.
Yeah.
And it was a delay and a delay, crying out, crying out. But she had to get to a place where she was willing to surrender to God the child, because God was waiting for a prophet. He needed to have someone to be a bridge between the judges and the bringing in of the king, David. He needed a transition man. So she's wanting a child for herself, and she's crying out in travail. But when she's willing to surrender that child to the Lord, God says, ah, now I got her where I want. She's now willing to give that which is most important to me, because I'm, you know, who's more important? You know, you having the child or God getting a prophet? Who's more important? So once God gets his, has a way of, to have a prophet, then He gives her what she wants, a child. So God does have to wait, you know, until we get aligned with His priorities and synced with His purpose. So, anyone else?
I just had one little comment. Because we've taught so much about Johnny. If people have not seen the videos of her 70th birthday, it's so evident how the Lord has answered her prayers, because she was more radiant than I have ever seen her. Just radiant. And she was recounting, you know, what the Lord had done through all of this, you know, in her life, and just, you know, she should never have made it to 70 with all that she's gone through. But it was a celebration, and she looked ready. I mean,
well, Sally mentioned 40 years in the wheelchair. It's actually been over 50.
Yeah. I just love her.
Yeah, and she's, I can't, she's, every morning she wakes up and she tells the Lord, I can't do quadriplegia today. I can't do it. She couldn't get out of bed. She had to lay hold of the Lord. So, I think that's the way the Lord normalizes this. Anyone else?
Well, I think part of that too, what she was saying was, I have such a loathing of sin, but yet I have these attitudes in my soul. So please pray. That's my problem. It's not the fact that I can't walk. This is my problem. Yeah. It's a sin issue. And so yeah. I so appreciated
attitudes
that.
Yeah. And it's like the salvation of the soul. Mm-hmm. It's a sanctification. And she's just aware that she has, every day when she's in these circumstances, that she has more need of sanctification. So I think that's, as long as we're living in that state of humility, that we're all in the sanctification process. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a return to normal. I would love to be able to go to a restaurant, go to a park, and not have all these restrictions. But it's not going to change. It's not going to. You watch. So, what is God doing? He's preparing us for Exodus. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, a couple things I'm going to follow up. If we ask God to increase our faith, then he's going to test the faith that we have. That's 1 Peter 1. You want a large faith? You know, increase my faith, Lord. Okay, then get ready for more testing. You want a bigger faith? Then the faith you have will be tested. Read 1 Peter 1. Why hasn't the Lord returned?
For his church?
Well, let's just look at a couple things. We already know, Revelation 19, God is waiting. You know, we're eagerly waiting for his appearing. We see that in Scripture. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the end of the verse, hallelujah, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. That's Revelation 19:6, and then verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him for the marriage of the Lamb. That means the wife must be reflecting Lamb-like character. There is a corresponding Psalm 45 reflection of the Lamb in his soon-to-be bride. Marriage take place in heaven. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. So why hasn't Jesus come back? The bride made herself ready? What's it going to take? We just noticed in the last couple of times we gathered together, the garments, right? The wedding garments. Who are those clothed in white? Daniel. Those have been purged and tried, made white, as in the furnace of affliction. Okay? So she made herself ready. And what does that look like? It was given to her. This is the Bema Seat of Christ. This is the typically of the church being glorified and full of rewards. It was given to her, the Bema Seat of Christ, to clothe herself in fine linen. That's royalty. That's the bride of the king, Psalm 45. These are royal garments. In other words, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bright, it is luminous, or shining, and clear. It means clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So if anyone hasn't come, ask the Lord if there's something you haven't done that he's waiting to do through you. Righteous acts of the saints. So the body of Christ, Ephesians 2:10, God has made each member of the body of Christ. We, his church, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and good works that we should walk in them. Those are faith-appropriated kingdom assignments to walk that out. So, you want to hasten this event? Ask the Lord if there are any righteous acts that are then assigned to you that you need to act on in faith and obedience. Just ask. And if sometimes, for me, when I ask that question, it's usually another person seeking help for SRDID. Okay? And I use it, I immediately want to shut the door. I'm done, I'm 75, I think I should be able to retire, but God doesn't have retirement in his vocabulary. I just haven't found it yet. So, I just keep saying yes. So, there are righteous acts that you all have that are waiting to be acted upon, so that will hasten the coming day when the bride has made herself ready. So just ask him, what are any righteous acts that you, Lord Jesus, living in me through the Holy Spirit, would like to, so the Word can become flesh in me and my circumstances, and what you are providentially bringing into my life that I can begin to act in faith and obedience and to carry out. So, there's lots of things to be done before Jesus returns for his church. We don't know how much, but we know that as pressure comes and we're brought into those providential circumstances to become more and more operating in the supernatural, we're going to see. We're going to really be carried along. And I would just say, after working with a person, I just worked with her one time this week, I saw happen in one session that which in the beginning took 15 years. This is not an exaggeration. It's not an exaggeration. You can be skeptical. I know how your head works. Especially you've had to pay the price and had to wait 15 plus years. I know, I get it. I understand that. But I'm seeing it. And so that just means you help prepare the way and pioneer the way for me to get to where I am now. So it's not all lost or wasted. It just means that God is accelerating things right now. And as you have an opportunity to step into that and be a part of this acceleration process, then, Lord, how would you seek to hasten the coming day of God, 2 Peter 3, by showing me these righteous acts that will represent me coming into bridal affections for the bridegroom, coming into correspondence with the as the wife of the Lamb. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to put Connie on the spot. Why? Kind of. No,
why?
Because we were talking about works and things. I don't know if you remember that when we were sitting by the lake and having fellowship today, we were talking about abiding.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the righteous acts come out of abiding in Christ.
That's right.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
You were sharing that with me. I mean, you, not in that those words, but...
Right. Because if we get the doing before the being, like abiding in Him, like positionally coming into who He is, if we get that crosswise, you know, then it does... We might be busy, we might be showing lots of activity, but there's going to either be mixture in there or the real life of Jesus Christ is still going to be hindered coming out of us. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been learning in Green Letters.
In Green Letters, yeah. We had a good talk about that.
It doesn't mean you don't do, but he said really in most Christian circles, it's the focus is on the actions. You know, do. And then,
right.
And so people can get real active, like they become born again, they're real involved in the church, and then they hit a point where they just like, they totally shut
burn
down.
Burnout,
mm-hmm. disillusioned, mm-hmm. and so forth. So it's like, the Holy Spirit, then God comes in and He does the work. We don't have to worry. Okay, well, am I doing too much when I should be being and should, you know, and all that? We don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. He does it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like.
That's neat. Well, because if we abide in Him, we will bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. He is us.
Yes. And yes, in His Word, then we will bear fruit. We will be involved in righteous acts. So again, it goes back to relationship.
Yeah.
It goes back to learning to love our Lord, learning to receive His love, abiding in Him, mm-hmm. relating to Him all day long, every moment of the day, no matter how mundane mm-hmm. our duties are, repetitive. We were talking about one more load of dishes in the dishwasher and then having to unload one more load of laundry, Lord, one more meal after 60, almost 70 years of living. It's, you know, it can get overwhelming. But I wanted to also mention when you were in Revelation 19 about the marriage of the Lamb. And in that case, it doesn't say the marriage of the bridegroom. It says the marriage of the Lamb. And I have written in my margin, she now corresponds to Him in a Lamb nature, i.e. meekness, patience, humility, and resignation to God. Now that's William Law.
Yes.
And that's, what's it called, holy for God? Or no. Yeah. But he uses that phrase, meekness,
freedom from a
self-centered life, one of the best books at the right time to read. But, so the Lamb nature is meekness, patience, humility, and resignation to God. And is not that what we are learning in each of our tests? One of those things. Whether it be resignation to God over and over and over, which to me would lend towards meekness, patience, and humility. But it's that kind of a bride that is going to be fit for the bridegroom. So he's waiting for us.
Yeah.
And he's doing the work, too, in us.
We talk about the relational in the Godhead. It's omni-relational. So if we're going to experience God as he desires to be known, it's in the New Testament, it's corporate. Yeah. There was always the corporate venue of knowing God in triune and relationships in terms of local church. Yeah, there's it's vertical and horizontal. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to consider these things that are important to you and trust that they will remain with us. In Jesus' name.